Chef John Moeller is a member of an elite core of chefs who've served in the White House. Chef John cooked for three first families, President George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. John grew up in the heart of Amish country in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. What started in high school as a passion for cooking led to his decision to pursue a culinary career. After working in several New England restaurants, John took a trip to France in 1984 that would become a 2.5-year journey of discovery, working his way across the region and studying fundamentals of French cuisine under some of the finest French chefs. Next, Chef John traveled to St. Croix, where he experimented with Caribbean flavors to complement his classical French cooking. When he moved to Washington, D.C. in 1987, a chance meeting at the Mayflower Hotel led to a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There he met Chef Pierre Chambron of Maison Blanche. Chambron would later become a White House executive chef for the Bush administration, and he hired Chef John as his sous chef. Chef John served in the White House from September 92 until 2005, one of the longest tenured chefs across three administrations. Chef John now runs State of Affairs Catering in his hometown of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Today, we'll speak with him about his new book, Dining at the White House, From the President's Table to Yours. Welcome, Chef John. It's a pleasure to have you with us on the Book Report today.
Oh, thank you, Elaine. Thanks for inviting me.
What inspired you to write the book?
Well, I mean, I left the White House at the end of 2005, and then a couple of years had passed, and I kept mulling over. I mean, I have boxes and boxes of memorabilia and documents and photos and obviously a wealth of information inside my mind here on everything. And then I talked to a couple of people about the idea of writing a book, and then after I moved back to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I came across Life Reloaded Publishing. They contacted me to do a reception for them for a book launch. And after we got done talking about the menu and what have you, I said, hey, I got a story. You want to hear it? And so we started talking about it, and we spent like a month or two just kind of going over some ideals and what have you. And of course, I brought a few big old boxes of stuff over of things, and then we started scanning items. Ended up scanning almost 2,000 items, literally. And then we started taking shape on what we're going to do with the story and everything. And then that was like 2.5 years ago. So it's been over 2.5 years in the making.
Oh, all right. You know, I've often wondered, and I'm sure most people wonder, how does the White House kitchen know about guest preferences, food allergies, dietary restrictions of the many heads of state that you serve?
It's a very good question. We are obviously very concerned about everybody that comes to the White House and dines, but more importantly, we're very, very concerned about our President First Lady and the visiting heads of states or dignitaries that are coming in. So obviously for them, we will have contact through our State Department. We'll be in contact with their embassies, and they will forward us what we refer to as dietary restrictions. And I usually wait for that before I start writing a menu, because you'll find out, you know, between religious concerns and just dietary issues that may occur through their diet or just likes and dislikes in general. And then I'll take that dietary concerns there, and then I'll start building a menu around that.
All right. One of your celebrity White House guests was Julia Child. What was it like to prepare a meal for her?
As I mentioned in the book there, I mean, I'm so glad that I did not know about it before she actually arrived. We found out about it actually as she arrived at the White House for dining that day. And what we had done at that point in time was our chef would give out different jobs to different people here. And that one was given to me about a month or so before that event had occurred. So when you have the event, you are the chef of the day. I will take the menus. I'll start writing them. I get them all okay through the social office, and then they will get back to me about any concerns. We finalize it. They send it to the calligrapher. They will write up the official menus and what have you, and then I book it. You know, this is I buy all the food. I organize all the prep, and then I execute it. So when I was just at the point of execution, that's when we heard that Julia Child was there for a luncheon. And so as much as I was happy about that, I didn't have much time to really think about making any changes. I mean, this was pretty much what it was going to be here. And after the luncheon was served, the chef came up to me and said that it looks like everybody's real happy up there. And a couple of minutes later, lo and behold, there's Julia Child. She comes around the corner and she walks into the kitchen. And she came in and congratulated us all for a job well done and went on to talk about how good the food was.
When you're having a state dinner, for example, how large is the culinary staff?
Well, the core staff is 3 in the kitchen, 2 in the pastry. So we're the full-timers. That's 5 on staff. When we get to a state dinner, generally a state dinner is 130 people. 130 guests, should I say. In the state dining room, we can put 13 tables of 10 in there, and generally speaking, that's what it may be. Once in a while, we may expand over to the east room, where we can maybe go up to 200 and add another 40 for a larger event. We can even expand it up to 240 if we didn't have like a state dinner type of setup. We've even done some state dinners outside on the South Lawn in pavilions, and we had a couple hundred for those. But let's go back to 130. Basically, for 130, we may bring in about 6, 7, 8 people to help us on top of the crew that we already have there.
That doesn't seem that large. What happens when the first family is eating by themselves? How many people are in the kitchen?
You are usually solo. When I'm on, which is referred to as family, you take care of the menus, you write the menus, get them okayed upstairs, and then you buy the food, and then you execute them. And so if it's just the two of them, there's usually one chef on duty, one or two butlers, depending on how many guests are there, and a kitchen steward. And that's a normal day if there's no receptions or anything going on in the house.
And what about when the family goes to Camp David? Do you travel with them?
Not usually. First of all, the Navy takes care of all the hospitality up in the Camp David area, and they also maintain all the cabins, and the Marines protect it. But what you will see, and we will go up there, is when you see a dignitary, a head of state, or some big powwow going up at Camp David, usually we're up there for that one. We'll treat that as like a catering gig, and then take the show on the road and do all the preparation down in Washington, and then take it up to Camp David. It's about an hour and a half drive from downtown Washington up to Camp David, and then execute it that way.
Mm-hmm. And what about Air Force One?
Military. The Air Force has their own galley team. I got a chance to meet those guys once. They came down to the White House for a tour, and they always invited me to come over and check out the Air Force One. It's one regret I do have is I never had a chance to get over to Andrews. But also, the president has a personal valet who is Navy-driven, and he will travel with the president everywhere in the world. And he will be, when he's setting up for a long tour somewhere, I see him in his room there with the list of every place he's got to go to, what he needs from a black tie to a white tie to a golf outing. All these things have to be obviously orchestrated before they leave the house.
You credit Hillary Clinton with transforming White House cuisine to reflect a more modern American taste. Talk about that.
We started using, and I always was a very big believer, and I still am, is using as much local ingredients as you can, fresh as possible, organic if you can. If not, you look for the next best thing. We were getting product in from all over the United States to try different things, and it was a great opportunity for me to basically play with my food.
Right.
I was just constantly trying all these different things here on a regular basis here, and that was pretty intriguing.
How did you choose the recipes that you included in the book?
Well, after looking over all these menu cards, and you saw them inside the book, that we created a new one for every event. And if you look at all of them, I have about over 400 of them. I was pretty vigilant about saving them after each event. And I had to go through and wanted to find ones that were ones that I created, number one, and also wanted something that would reflect a balance of different items that I can showcase in the book.
All right. Well, readers, I want to tell you that the book has beautiful photography, and it's a really wonderfully interesting read with great recipes. Chef John, thanks so much for joining us today.